When General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, went blind, his son Bramwell broke the news to him. "You mean that I'm blind?" the old man asked. "I fear so," said Bramwell. "You mean I'll never see your face again?" "Not in this world," son replied. Then reaching through the darkness for Bramwell's hand, the old warrior said, "I have done what I could for God and his people with my eyes. Now I shall do for God and his people what I can without my eyes." Seems to be a big secret to be discovered here. Someone said, if you cannot do what you like, you must like what you can do. And there's a lot of truth in that. Now, as children, we try to make the world go our way. We bang doors that will not open. We howl when our favorite toy is withdrawn. But sadly, some people keep that up and maintain that attitude even when they become adults. Real Christians are contented people. Discontented people have something wrong. Either they are not right with God, or they are not right with themselves. It's as simple as that. Your surroundings today may be attacking you, attacking your happiness, but it can't destroy it. For happiness and contentment comes not from what is outside us, but what is inside. It's the old, old story, and later Pastor Fred Penny will bring a message, The Gift of Contentment. We invite you to stay with us this next 30 minutes as we share the message again of the one who said, I am come that you might have life and live it to the full. Now, most of us have no idea how to sort out our wants from our needs, but contentment comes when we finally rest in the words of this song. He knows just what I need.
My Jesus knows. Just what I need.
Millions testify to this. The only real source of contentment in this world is the love of Christ. Nothing else compensates for all other losses and disappointments. Nothing else lifts and sustains and brings hope for today and all our tomorrows, like being in relationship with Jesus. Hear the congregation express it now in this great anthem. If you live anywhere in the St. John's area and you would like a place to belong, a place to grow, a place to share your life with others, a place for your family, we'd love to have you become a part of us here at Elam. You'll find us at 565 Kenmount Road. The service times are on Sunday at 10 a.m. and a time of worship and Bible study at 6 p.m., except for this evening when we join the folks at Park Avenue Pentecostal Church in Mount Pearl at 6 p.m. And there are activities here throughout the week. Call the church anytime, 579-9678. During Sunday or any business hours, there'll be somebody there. That's 579-9678. We'll arrange, if you like, for weekly updates of what's happening here at Elam. Father, today, as we consider what you wanted for us, abundant living, contentment, help us to discern what is real, what is eternal, what is temporal, what is fleeting, what is of no lasting value. We pray today for the soul whose appetite and zest for the transient is gone already, and what remains is so hollow and so unreal. For the one who would give anything for a good, clean conscience, clear before you, let this be the day when new vistas open, a discovery of the eternal that brings contentment in this life, here and now. We thank you that you hear us today. Amen. You can call us now with any need, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. That number again, 579-9678, will link you in, and we'll take your call now, and we promise that we'll pray for you today. Whether you wish to remain anonymous or not, that's fine. An old song said it right. He's the Christ of every crisis. Now, you know that the Holy Spirit is too often thought of as some atmosphere, some ethereal cloud bank that rests on a crowd of people. No, friend, he's a person who comes where there's an inviting, calling heart. And at your invitation, he comes to you today as he would with any other person on earth. Here is the worship team with Deborah Collins sings, "He is here." The psalmist David must have been having a day like maybe you or I have experienced when he wrote, "If I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and find rest." In today's language, we'd say, "I want to get away from it all." But the cause and cure goes deeper than a round-trip ticket. None of us can get away from ourselves, but we can do something. We can learn the secret of living. The gift of contentment is the message, and here's your radio pastor, Pastor Fred Penny.
Well, good morning, Radio Church. It's time for another chapter in the old, old story. The story that never gets old, the story of God's love and the good news of the gospel. Today, I want to talk to us about the gift of contentment. Contentment is such an interesting word. Contentment is not apathy, and it is not selfish ambition. Contentment is a choice to be satisfied in belonging to Christ. He is our shalom. He is our peace. Content or discontent? Which is better? If we are discontented with our health or discontented with our relationships, that can motivate us to change and to make things better. But really, living in a state of contentment is a great way to live. Contentment means to be satisfied. It is, however, a very elusive quality. God's gift to us is a gift of peace and contentment. The Old Testament Hebrew word is shalom. Society is more interested, it seems, in happiness, more interested in ambition. And, of course, ambition can be good, unless it becomes selfish ambition. I like to be ambitious. I want my kids to be ambitious, to have dreams and goals. But when ambition overcomes us, it can be very dangerous. Let's listen to God's word as Paul writes to us in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. There's a story told of a fisherman by the seashore, and this fisherman is visited by a business person. And the business person makes a suggestion. He says, instead of fishing by the seashore, you should buy a boat. Then what should I do? The businessman says, well, then you'll catch more fish. And then what should I do? And the businessman says, then you should buy a bigger boat and catch even more fish and hire a crew to work for you. And then what should I do? And the businessman says, well, then you should buy several boats and catch even more fish. And then what should I do? He says. And the businessman says, well, later on you can sell these boats and enjoy your wealth and relax and retire. Sit by the ocean and be content. And the fisherman looks at him and says, but that's what I'm doing now. What an interesting... In today's world, contentment is a rare quality. Now, we Newfoundlanders, let's be honest, we have difficulty being content with the weather. Come on now, admit it. We wish it was warmer in May of 2019. Don't we love to complain about the weather? On my iPhone, I have a number of favorite cities listed there with the current temperature. And almost every couple of days, I look at these cities. For example, today in San Francisco, it's 17 degrees. In Jerusalem, it's 30 degrees. In Paris, it's 21. In Barbados, it's 29. And in St. John's, it's 4. 4 degrees. How do we be content with 4 degrees? Well, the Apostle Paul writes this letter while he is in prison. He's chained as a prisoner, he's in jail, and he's writing a letter about joy and contentment. Now, if you're in a prison cell by yourself, separated from family and friends, what are you going to write about? Are you going to tell people about contentment? Paul says he is content. He has learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. It's interesting that Paul uses this word secret. I think he means contentment is not something that we naturally have. Not many people know this gift of contentment, and it's something we must learn and discover throughout our lives. How do we find this secret of contentment? Well, let's begin by admitting that there are some contentment killers. Think of four contentment killers. I think number one might be envy, comparing ourselves with other people. And when we compare ourselves with other people, we are often discontent. Secondly, I think another contentment killer is a sense of entitlement, that attitude that says, I deserve more. I deserve better. And we demand that life satisfy our needs and our desires. Maybe contentment killer number three is greed. Never having enough, always wanting more. I'm reminded of these words of Jesus. He says, beware of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then contentment killer number four might be the myth of the greener grass. Or for us, maybe it's the myth of much better weather. Always thinking that somebody else's circumstances or some other situation is better for us. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content. In verse 12, Paul says, I know what it is to have needs. I've known poverty. I've known hunger. As we're listening today to this broadcast, you might say, I've known poverty. I've known unemployment. I've known many needs in my life. Some of you have lived through the Depression and the World War and unemployment and other situations in life that create pain and suffering. But we also know that these moments build character and they build empathy. We also know that our society, when it comes to economics, our society is built on scarcity, limited dollars, limited jobs, limited raw material. Paul says, I know what it is to have needs. And he also says now in verse 12, I know what it is to have plenty. I wish we lived in a world where everyone had plenty or everyone had enough. I remember that character on the Beverly Hillbillies from many years ago now, Jed Clampett. He said, I've been poor and I've been rich, and rich is better. But to love money, says Paul, is the root of all kinds of evil. Again, remember the words of Jesus, beware of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It almost sounds like greed is an act of power that can sneak up on us and overtake us. Beware of the tendency to become greedy, to always want more. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I think of a story in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where Paul and his friend Silas are in prison. They're in stocks. It's a dungeon, really. And in that situation, instead of complaining and feeling sorry for themselves, they're actually singing hymns of praise to God. Where does this contentment come from? I'll note for us verse 10. Paul says, concern for me, and I appreciate the concern that you have for me, he writes. You know, contentment is often very connected to being part of a community. If you're alone, I encourage you to seek out community, seek out a church family. This is part of God's design, that we belong to the church, a place where we can find encouragement and support. For Paul and for us who follow Christ, the source of our contentment, the secret of our contentment is Jesus Christ our Lord. The truth about contentment begins by looking to the cross and seeing ourselves as a forgiven person and a loved person. The love of God and the forgiveness that we find in Christ stirs within us a sense of gratitude and thankfulness. Paul says, back in verse 6 now, he says, in every situation, bring our needs to God, but bring them with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:13 says, I am rich in Christ. I can do all things, Paul says, through Christ who gives me strength. I'm reminded of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 10 says this, do not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Be content is another way of saying this. Do not covet, be content. Over the centuries, many people have indeed coveted their neighbor's family, possessions, opportunities. And this, of course, has resulted in theft, adultery, murder, anger, and on a national scale, war between nations. One nation coveting the resources of another nation. In his autobiography, Just As I Am, Billy Graham recalls the story. He says, some years ago now, my wife Ruth and I were on an island in the Caribbean, and one of the wealthiest men in the world had asked us to come to his home for lunch. He was now 75 years old, and throughout the entire meal, he seemed close to tears. I am the most miserable man in the world, he said. Out there is my yacht. I can go anywhere I want. I have a private plane, helicopters. I have everything I want to make my life happy. Yet, I am miserable. And so Billy Graham and his wife talked with him and prayed with him about the good news of the gospel and pointed him to Christ, who alone can bring us contentment and joy. Then Billy Graham and his wife went down the hill to a small cottage, and that afternoon they met a pastor of a local church. He was a widower, and he was now spending many of his days caring for his two chronically ill sisters. But yet he was full of enthusiasm and love for Christ, and he had the joy of the Lord in his heart. He said to Billy Graham, "I don't have $2 to my name, but I am the happiest man on this island." Who do you think is the richer man? We find our contentment in Christ. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In another passage in Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is our prayer today. Lord, teach me to find my contentment in you. The secret to being content in every situation is Christ and the gospel. It is in knowing that we are loved. It is in finding our identity in Christ, not in things, not in our performance, not in our acclaim or our accomplishments, but we find our contentment in Christ and the good news of the gospel. God bless you today. Amen.
You've been tuned to The Old, Old Story. Our lines are open now, and we would love to take your prayer need today and include you as we pray together today. 579-9678 will link you, and let this be a step of faith toward victory for you today. Now, maybe in the course of this broadcast today, you've somehow discovered in a fresh way that you indeed are discontented. Maybe you've discovered that you've really been listening to and acting on a lie. Satan has told you to go out and snatch at contentment. He's told you there's so little of contentment and happiness in this world, you need to grab it when you can and where you can and however you can. All along, God has been waiting to make your life happy instead of heavy, peaceful instead of panicky, humble instead of haughty. So come to him today, will you, friend? Confess your need of him and express your faith in him today. He'll make you, friend, as though you had never sinned, justified, the Bible says. He'll draw you to himself, and you'll have a sweet sense of knowing that you are God's own child. We'd be so thrilled to know. The number again, 579-9678. Or you can email elamstjohns.com. That's all one word, Elam St. John's, no apostrophe, elamstjohns.com. And we would love to get your message. Ivan Butler reminding you to join us again next week at this time and on this station. Until then, you'll never need to ask, can I be happy and contented in this world, in my circumstances? If you never waver or sway or wobble in the conviction that his grace will always be sufficient for you. Again.